Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O
Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's Gospel, Jesus says some very important things about us, as well as about St. Lawrence, whom we celebrate today. Whoever serves me, he says, must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be, and the Father will honor the one who serves me. Today we celebrate one whom the Father honors eternally because he did serve the Lord and followed the Lord. The Lord was describing himself when he said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. St. Lawrence followed the Lord on that path of falling to the ground and dying so that he could bear incredible fruit, dying first to himself so many times in life, which prepared him for the great test, the test of his martyrdom, where he again fell to the ground but bore even more fruit than he did in life. Pope Benedict, back in 2006, said this passage, unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, describes the essence of Christianity. For us to be truly Christian, we have to go the way of the grain of wheat. We have to be willing to die to ourselves so that the Lord might live and through us might bear abundant fruit. The first reading, we have that understanding of the sowing and the reaping that happens. Unless we go the path of the grain of wheat, we'll bear little fruit in our life. But if we sow bountifully, it's then there will be an enormous harvest. But the way we sow is only through our self-death. And we're also called to do it, as St. Paul says, cheerfully, not reluctantly. To do so out of love that always produces the fruit of joy, rather than just as a duty that often goes against the grain and can alienate us. This describes the life of St. Lawrence the Deacon. First, in his charity here on earth, he was the archdeacon of the Diocese of Rome. To understand the importance of deacons, we have to understand a little bit of the structure of the church. There was one bishop of Rome who was the Pope. There were hundreds of priests in 258 when he was martyred, but there were only seven deacons. And at the time, it was always just kept seven deacons. And the deacons were always very capable administrators with real hearts. They were the ones who ran the church's diaconia, the church's Catholic charities, we would call it today, serving all the various needs of the poor. And the archdeacon was the one who was in charge of it all. So a few days ago, we celebrated the feast of Pope St. Sixtus II and his companions who were martyred in the catacombs of St. Callistus. The Emperor Valerian wanted to decapitate the Church of Rome. He wanted to execute all her leaders and confiscate all her treasures so that without their leaders and without the ability to propagate the faith, he would be able to compel the Christians to sacrifice to the pagan gods, which is what he wanted to do. And as we remembered a few days ago, St. Sixtus and the other deacons were all summarily slaughtered, but they allowed the Archdeacon, St. Lawrence, to go and round up all the treasures of the church. So he took a few days to do that, and then he came back and presented the real treasures of the church to the governor. And the governor was expecting to have books, chalices, and the rest. Instead, he brought all the poor of Rome. He said, "These are our treasures." They really were. It wasn't a game that he was playing. It wasn't a trick. He recognized just how valuable the poor are. So valuable that Jesus Christ died for them, that he became a grain of the wheat, falling to the ground and dying, so that he might bear tremendous fruit in them. St. Lawrence lived precisely what we're all called to live. The church is very clear that the exercise of charity is just as important in the church as the proclamation of the gospel and the celebration of the sacrament. Just as important. And you know, most Catholics don't really pay attention to that at a regular level. If there's a great disaster like in Haiti, a lot of Catholics, like our fellow citizens, step up to the plate, thanks be to God, and donate generously. But few Catholics actually sacrifice much of their time for the poor. Few Catholics really sacrifice their money for the poor. They may give something to Catholic charities, but a lot of the times, proportional to what they waste on things that we don't need, they're not really caring. I mean, I remember a very forceful interview with Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio in Argentina, now Pope Francis. And he said, "Here in Argentina, just think about how much money women spend on cosmetics. Just think about how many families spend so much on pet food. And yet we've got people starving in the Villas de Miseria, in the miserable little barrios. It's not that women shouldn't look nice. It's not that we shouldn't have pets or care for pets. None of that's sinful. But when those types of things are prioritized, when people are starving to death, we've got a real problem. Would that no woman use hair dye? Would that no woman buy lipstick until people could eat? Would that no pet be brought into this world in a new litter until people are able to be fed?" But a lot of the times we have our priorities slightly out of whack, and we focus on these types of things more than we really do the care for the poor. Just as much as we pray, and prayer is essential to our Christian life, just as much as the sacraments are the most important gift, we need to take charity just as seriously. It's a common examination of conscience point for me whether I take charity as important as I do these other two things. I do take the other two things very important, and I try to be as charitable as I can. But I think that there's a lot more I can do, especially with my time. How about you? It's the first way that St. Lawrence sowed bountifully and cheerfully in his care for the poor, the real treasure, because we always receive far more than we give. The second way is in his death. He had constantly been given himself over, following the Lord, serving the Lord in this way, so that when it came time for that supreme moment, he was able to sow his own body cheerfully. His martyrdom is probably the most famous martyrdom in the history of the church, at least in terms of its punchline, which was attested very early, soon after it had occurred. Because the governor was so upset at the supposed trickery, rather than bringing the gold chalices, rather than bringing the liturgical books and every other thing, he had brought the poor. He wanted to execute Lawrence in a way that was much more painful. The Emperor Valerian had said that they must be executed quickly, which generally meant decapitated, literally, fastest way to kill somebody. So they decided that they were going to broil St. Lawrence alive. And so they really heated up a grill and they started to burn him. And after he had been getting roasted, he turned around and he said to his executioners, "Assum est, versa et manduca." Cheerfully, he said, "This side's done. Time to flip me over and take a bite." Until the very end, he was sowing cheerfully. He wasn't afraid to die because he knew that just as it happened with Christ's crucifixion, the greatest good had come to the world. So by his own death, great good would come to the church through his own participation in the Passion. So what do we learn today? First thing we learn, it's about the importance of charity, to really prioritize it, to examine ourselves of whether we're living truly generous lives, whether we're sacrificing or whether we're just giving from our surplus to those who are in need, whether we really go without something we need in order to go and give to someone who has far less. That's always the test. Second, we learn the importance of dying to ourselves each day so that Christ himself might raise from the dead, of throwing ourselves humbly to the ground in serving others so that when the supreme test comes for us, we, like Lawrence, might be ready. Third, we learn the real importance of the diaconate. The diaconate is not so that you can have liturgical potted plants here, so that you can hear somebody read the gospel other than the priest, so that the priest can sit home in the rectory and drink coffee while somebody else goes to the cemetery. That's the way sometimes deacons are used in parishes. The real aspect of the diaconate is a minister of charity, someone who carries on that bountiful sowing of love that we see in Christ, who came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his whole life as a ransom for the many. To be able to go out and serve others, deacons are meant to lead the whole church in that effort. So today we pray for Tim Flaherty, who's preparing for the permanent diaconate to be ordained this October 12th, just 2 months and 2 days away. We pray for all those permanent deacons of our diocese, as well as those whom the Lord is calling to serve him in this beautiful work of charity. And we ask that we might learn from the example of those who sow bountifully with the gift of their life, the gift of their time, the gift of their resources, so that their example might become our own as we prepare to receive Jesus' central diaconia, Jesus' most important service, where he gives all to us and he says, "Do this in memory of me." May we, like Lawrence, follow and serve Christ by giving all cheerfully. Praise be Jesus Christ.